Hi, I'm Haley, creator of Whimsy and Wellness, and this is the Whimsy and Wellness Podcast, your happy place for inspiration and education on natural wellness, entrepreneurship, womanhood, and motherhood. Listen, smile, and share with a friend. I can't wait to hear what you think about this episode's conversation. Meg, take it away.
Okay, so today I'm sitting down, or virtually sitting down, with Leslie Graham. Leslie is a Crown Diamond leader with Young Living, and she's a lifestyle blogger who, you guys, truly shows up with vulnerability and inclusiveness and oftentimes even a little humor. So she lives outside of Atlanta with her leather making husband Sam and their two daughters. This episode was amazing. We talked about like some hard things with all the happenings of 2020, but it was also like positive and lighthearted at the same time. She's just a breath of fresh air. And if you have been feeling spread thin or overwhelmed or at the end of your rope with, you know, balancing, or what you'll find from this episode, lack thereof, being a mom and working in the craziness that has been this past year, I hope that my conversation with Leslie brings you some helpful tools as well as comfort that while we are pretty isolated right now, you are just not alone. So here we go. I hope you enjoy. Okay, welcome to the Whimsy and Wellness Podcast, Leslie.
I am so excited. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes. So I have to tell you, as we were mapping out like who we wanted on the podcast and what types of topics we were going to cover, we knew right off the bat that we were like, okay, we need a mom with school-aged kids for this year or 2020 that, you know, would also be working and would just kind of know the struggle of school-aged mamas this year, but working moms, and then also someone who would be like honest with us that like, yeah, that was quite the doozy. And you came to mind like right away. We were like, we have to have Leslie. She will be real. Awesome.
That's awesome. I can't think of anything that would make me happier than someone thinking of me for like real talk. So yes. I'm here for it. Let's do it.
Yeah. So 2020, how's it been?
You know, in a lot of ways, it's been horrible. You know, I think for me, as someone that takes on other people's emotions and really let things get to me, I think the emotional toll of the suffering has been really heavy. And just knowing that so many people are struggling, we are so fortunate that, you know, our jobs continued on. And, you know, we had hiccups with, you know, behind the scenes issues with shipping and all sorts of things, just like everybody else. But really, we were fine. But just knowing that so many people that we love were having a hard time was the worst. But in a lot of ways, 2020 has been such a gift, or was such a gift, because I have kids that are now 12 and 8, and they were gone all day long, and I missed them terribly. And I never thought they would go to school together because of their age difference. They were in two separate schools. And to have them home all day long and doing school together is just kind of a miracle. Yeah. So we've actually loved homeschooling way more than we thought that we would. And we did a ton of travel. We got an Airstream, which we never would have done. So there were a lot of, you know, gifts to the year, just a mixed bag of tricks, really.
Yes. That is a word, a mixed bag of tricks. I love that so much. Such a like, yeah, a double-edged sword. Like there's so much good and so much bad. I had a baby, like, in April. So
right COVID at the baby.
Yes, COVID baby. And at first I was so bummed, like no one will be able to visit and all of that. And honestly, I mean, he was my first baby, so I don't know any different, but I think if I were to have another baby in the hospital, like, I don't think I would let visitors come. It was amazing to just like be in a bubble. Girl. And not have people visit.
As someone who was absolutely overwhelmed by the amount of visitors, I have to say you are correct. And also, yeah. Congrats. That's
Thank
so exciting.
You. Thanks.
Yeah, they're like little secret babies. I feel like all the pregnancies, all the babies this year, they've been these sort of protected little
creatures
that you just get to have all to yourself, which is really special too.
Yes, it's so nice. And so, when we go out in public, rarely, he just stares at other people like,
like, what in the world?
humans, other humans? Like what? Who?
What are you? So strange. How crazy, so, right?
So weird. But yeah, like there's the heartache of it, but also like what a gift. So I echo.
It's a gift of time.
Yes. Yes. Yes, for sure. So let's talk first about like working from home while your kids are home, which you've like kind of done because you've run your Young Living business from home for a while, right?
6 years.
So yeah. What's been different from pre-COVID working from home to like COVID and your kids are home? What's been different?
Oh my gosh, everything. I mean, when I started my business, I had an 18-month-old and I think Matilda was almost 5. So I went from having 2 kids home to 1 child in school all day to both girls in school all day and now both girls home all day. Honestly, this has been my favorite season, you know, and I'm in a different place in my business. You know, when my girls were really young, I was working my tush off, you know, and mm-hmm. now we're in a place where the hard work has kind of paid off and we're able to kind of enjoy our kids being at home. So it's really a gift.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you guys decided to homeschool, right, for the 2021 school year, which is no small feat deciding that. So can you talk to us about like the process of making that decision and coming to that decision and like how it's impacted your day to day?
Oh, absolutely. So my husband actually decided to leave his corporate job a year before 2020 hit. And, you know, he decided to pursue leatherworking full time, which is something that he's been doing for 10 years on the side. And that was super exciting, but it was also just a huge adjustment. So we had this sort of like weird year of figuring out what that looked like. And then COVID hit and the girls came home and I knew like deep in my gut that they were not going back to school earlier this year. And I just had that feeling. And we just sort of decided if they did come back with some weird stuff that the girls were going to have to do, not weird, but you know what I mean? Like if they were going to have to wear masks all day or any of the stuff that we just felt like if we could avoid it, we would try. And I realized not everyone has that luxury because it really, you know, was a luxury, but we just said, you know, this is something we've tossed the idea around. Why not just give it kind of have a gap year of just doing our own thing? And it was a big decision because my husband was really going to be the one doing most of the teaching. I am lunch lady and art and mom, basically. So, and you know, there are interruptions all day long. So it's not like it's like this confined, tidy situation. We're really winging it, but we found a curriculum that we loved. And Sam is an amazing, like, he actually thinks that he maybe would have gone to school for teaching and he has just like rocked it. So I'm just so, it's just been really cool to watch him step into that role too.
That's awesome. So did you face like internal fears or insecurities in that? Cause I felt like I don't have a school age kid, but I just, even on social media, I felt like watching everything, there was like no right decision. Like everyone had an opinion about what everyone should be doing with schools and parents were being attacked in schools and teachers. And it just was like, I can't imagine the internal fears and insecurities that I'm sure so many parents were feeling. So like, did you struggle with that? And how did you make peace with your decision if you did?
We decided pretty early on that we were going to homeschool and felt really good about it. I would say that a lot of my friends and the conversations that I had were riddled with anxiety and like, what are we doing? And I just felt like for us personally, we had no interest in riding that roller coaster and we really did not like virtual learning at all. And so we had a feeling that the kids were going to end up coming back home, which they haven't yet so far, but I have a feeling maybe, I don't know. So we just felt like we're just not going to ride the roller coaster, but it was hard. And I think it is hard, but I had several of my friends who could have homeschooled tell me later on, they're like, we should have just done it, you know? So I think everyone's doing the best that they can with the information that we had. And it was constantly changing and it still is. So it's like, there's no right way to do this.
Yeah, there really is. So you mentioned curriculum briefly, and I've heard that that can be like such an overwhelming task to like choose because there's so many options and opinions. And so like, what resources did you use to put together, you know, a school plan and curriculum and Did you follow a certain method?
Well, I did what anyone would do in the year of 2020, where I pulled people on Facebook and Instagram, right? And so you do start to see these sort of repeating ideas that, you know, a lot of people that are like-minded are doing the same kind of things. And, you know, I have friends who are very like type one on the Enneagram organized, who were like piecing it all together. I was like, oh no, like I need like, where do I sign for everything comes and let's do that. So we ended up doing the Good and the Beautiful, which I love. And they didn't have a math option for Matilda because she's in sixth grade. So we outsourced that through Masterbooks, I think is what it's called. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure that's it. And it's all cohesive. And so that's been really nice. Super simple.
Yeah. So now that you're halfway through the year, which is insane, really is. Congrats.
Thank you. I think we all need an award at this point, right?
Oh my gosh. I know. My mom is a public school first grade teacher and they're still in school. And I'm just like, I don't know how you do that. Like, you know,
they're heroes.
Truly. She's like, one of my first graders lost a tooth under his mask the other day and neither of us knew what to do.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I was like, yeah, what do you do?
You're sweet mom. These teachers, they deserve everything. I'm like, whatever you can give them, we all need to give them whatever.
I know.
So much to navigate.
Yeah. Every like teachers and parents and these kids that are so resilient.
Oh, they're so resilient.
Oh my gosh. So would you do anything differently, like knowing what you know now that you're halfway through the year?
I feel like what I would do differently is not stress as much about making the decision, because we did stress. And also, I think that I would just be confident in staying in my lane. It's so easy to look to what everyone else is doing and to second guess everything, because I did, you know, because we're big believers in public school, you know, and we were like, who are we to educate our children? I don't know. Uh-huh. But I had so many people that reaffirmed that we were capable, and I'm grateful for the people that took the time to like encourage us.
Given that like you own your own business, and your husband does too, right?
Yes.
Is it Magnolia Leatherworks? Is that
it? Is. Yes. You're so sweet to know that.
Yes, they are incredible. Or he is incredible. Whimsy Wellness just did like a collaboration with him. He does great work, you guys. So check him out. But you guys both own your own businesses. So how did you guys like divide up homeschool and just regular parenting? I mean, I know you said Sam took the lead, but how was that with like both running your businesses too?
It's been crazy. Fortunately for Sam, he really determines his own schedule, production level, like everything is so, he really is his own boss, where I have obligations and responsibilities to people and have to be available to other people where he doesn't. So it really was just a natural fit for him to do school. He's also a night owl, so he does most of his leather work after I go to bed, which is very early.
Yes.
Like a total grandma. So, you know, it worked out really well that way. He's also, like I said, just amazing at teaching and explaining things. And that's not really my gifting.
You mentioned the Enneagram before. So what, tell me your number and Sam's number, if you know his.
Okay. Oh yeah. I feel like it's like such a pivotal part of our marriage, like figuring that out about him. It was like, oh my gosh. Yes.
Right.
So he's a one wing two. So he has a strong two wing, very much a helper, but super perfectionistic, you know, and all that stuff. And so, and then I'm a three wing four, which I find to be like, they're almost opposites, you know, it's like, be who people want you to be, but I can't because I have to stay true to myself. So it's like constantly battling the mind. What about you?
I'm a six with my seven wing is so strong. So I had a hard time. Like I was so split, like, am I a six or a seven? But then I think I just like wanted to be more of a seven. Like I'm like, but that's more fun.
Let's be real. I know.
Yeah. But I'm also terrified of dying like every moment. So probably, a six.
I love that. Well, I'm supposed to go to six and help. So I'll just try to be you. That's my new goal.
Yes. I go to three in stress, which I do. I wish I went to three in growth sometimes. I'm like, you guys have some great strengths.
Sometimes.
Okay, so let's talk about like the guilt and the shame that can come with being a working mom. How can people like just kick that right to the curb?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's only natural. I struggle with that big time because I'm like, I should be teaching the girls, you know, and here I am working, or, you know, it's like you could always beat yourself up for something. Mm-hmm. It's never simple. But what I would say is that how I've worked through that is trying. And again, there's no perfect way to do any of this stuff because it's just hard, honestly. Mm-hmm. But to have boundaries, especially with technology, you know, so when I'm with the girls, I want to be with them 100%. Mm-hmm. And so that's just setting boundaries for me. Like, you know, with dinner on, my phone is, I don't know where it is, because I don't have a lot of self-control when it comes to work, because I do love it so much. I've gotten better. I definitely feel like I've grown in that area, but I do still feel that temptation to like, look at my phone, see what's going on, blah, blah. Right. So just hiding that when I'm with them, and making sure that I'm filling up their cup and tucking them in at night, you know, because you can tell when your kids are needy, you know, there's like, it's real special, you know, they start with the whining and then they're trying to get your attention and, you know, and so I can tell when my kids feel loved. And so that's my goal, is for them to go to sleep and me to know that I can tell that they feel seen and loved. And
yeah, you know, that's so important. And like, I keep reminding myself, like, letting them watch us work is such a gift, because I too will feel so guilty. Like, Acre's only 7 months old, but I'm still just always like, oh, screen time is so bad. And he sees me on my phone and I have Elmo playing. But it's like, he gets to watch me work, and screen time is fine, especially in 2020.
Oh my gosh, it is totally fine. And I remember that feeling when the girls were babies, like if I wasn't looking at them at all moments of the day, then I must be doing something wrong. And my friend was like, you don't have to look at her all day. And I was like, are you sure? I think we just come out thinking we're going to screw them up. And honestly, we probably will in some way. And that's okay too. It's all part of the human experience.
Yes.
But I think you're right. I do think that it's so important for our girls, for your son, to see us chasing some dream, you know, and to not shrink back and to not put all of our goals to the side just because we're quote moms, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I would love to talk about, as you say, life is a sounding board. Can you like elaborate on that?
So my mentor and one of my dear friends, Courtney Kreitz, she shared this analogy with us years ago, and it was the first thing that ever made sense to me as far as working as a mom. And really, you know, balance is a mess. You know, I totally believe that. But if you look at our lives like a sounding board, you know, when you're in a recording studio, you're trying to pump up the bass or turn down the whatever, you know, I don't know all these technical terms, I'm not a musician, but you're not trying to make everything sound the same. And so sometimes we have to turn up the work volume. Sometimes we have to, you know, dial it down, you know, when you know that you need to be more present for your family, or God forbid there's some, you know, sort of issue going on or whatever, that you need to be present for that. But it's just constantly moving things around to make it all work. But it's never having everything at the same volume, which I think we think we need to be like super present here and super present here. Well, we're just one, you know, frail human. So,
oh, that is so good. I love that.
I thought it was too. And so I try to keep that in mind. And we can't have the same buttons always up. You know, it's like, if work is always the primary noise, then everything else is going to be affected, you know?
Right. I feel like balance, I mean, maybe I'm saying this because I'm a woman, but I feel like as a woman and a mom, I feel like that's something I always hear my friends saying, like, I just want to find balance, or like, I wonder how she balances it. And it's like, she don't.
She don't. And that is the God honest truth.
Yeah.
There is no one I know that is doing everything well. You just can't.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about helping our kids through all of this, because there was some intense energy. I feel like there is no word to like explain it. So I'll just say intense energy for 2020, but it was like next level, we were all just feeling like collective grief and anger and fear and conversations that were long overdue. And like with your kids, who, remind me their ages again.
So Matilda is 12 and Phoebe is 8.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, not oblivious. So how have you like navigated some of these conversations?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they've heard us talk about so much of it just because anytime we'd be with other adults, which isn't very often these days, you know, politics would come up, racial tension would come up, and, you know, they got to hear a lot of those conversations with it, which I think is great. You know, they heard us sort of processing through, we don't have all the answers, you know, and I think more than anything, what I've tried to pass on to them is just to be curious and to ask questions and to realize that they don't, and they never will know everything. And I think it's so important that we listen to other people's perspectives, especially people that, you know, don't have the same opportunities or background or whatever, you know, like we've got to be willing to listen. And I think part of the tension came from people being unwilling.
Yes. It's so unsafe to be so like closed off. So yeah, being,
oh my gosh, being
curious is so good. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So with kids being like such sponges, and like you said, they heard a lot of the conversations. How are your kids doing with the isolation? Or even like you said in the beginning, with you taking on the emotional baggage of the world, like how have they handled that? And what do you think as moms, how can we help them through it?
I think you nailed the head. What do you say? Nailed it on the head. Hit the nail on the head. There we go.
Oh, there we go. Woo.
Hard to talk with kids being super resilient. I think this year has been incredibly confusing, would be the word. My kids, I would say on a daily basis, are super positive and just have an amazing outlook. But then we'll have days where out of nowhere, there's tears and it all kind of comes out, you know? And I'm like, that's how I feel too. It's like they just try to put on a brave face every day and then they really miss their school friends, or they'll feel sad that something got canceled or a family member couldn't come visit because of COVID or whatever. And, you know, it sucks, but I'm so grateful that they know that they can express that and that they see us. You know, I think Sam and I have both had moments of emotions, big emotions this past year. And so, you know, they've seen that we have those moments and then we rally and we get back on the horse and we keep going. And so I really think that honestly, kids are getting to learn a lot of lessons that sometimes you don't learn until later in life, you know, that not everything works out with a bow on it. And there are disappointments and we get to choose how we react, you know?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So with being home, like all the time,
all the time,
I'm like clawing at the door.
No.
Like, do you want to go get coffee? Does anyone want to go on a drive?
Anyone, especially if you've got that 7 wing. Woo.
Yeah. Like, get me out of here. Like, people. The other day I literally cried because I'm like, Acre hasn't seen like a stranger's smile. And it just like made me sad. Like you said, some days it's like, I'm so positive. And then other days I'm like, I just want to like smile at a stranger and not wonder like, are my eyes like vibrant enough for them to know I'm smiling?
It's like, so bizarre.
Yeah, so weird. So with being home all the time and not being able to get childcare, really, how have you been able to create boundaries at home to have like time with Sam? Or does that just not really exist?
So we're really in a kind of cool season with parenting. They're not babies. You know, and so they can watch a TV show or something. We can have some time. We've had some nights where we're like, we're not doing tuck in tonight. We're having a date night. You guys can tuck yourselves in. We love you so much. Give us a hug. And then they put themselves to bed and we have kind of a date night. And that is like basically like us being exhausted and watching The Vow, or we just did The Undoing, which was so good. Highly recommend. So yeah, I mean, it's just pockets of alone time. And sometimes that's, we've been so fortunate that we have great neighbors. And so the girls will go play outside and we have some time then, but it's been hard. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of alone time at all.
Yeah. It is. It's rough. You got to really get creative.
All right. Yep.
Okay. So I'd love, if it's okay with you, if I could read like part of a caption from one of your Instagram posts, because you shared it in the spring. And at the time it was like so good. And I think it would like resonate with people now. Do you mind if I read it?
No, I'm so curious.
What is it?
Yeah. What is this?
Okay. So you said emotions are high. People are spread thin. It seems like there isn't a safe place to just say, man, I'm struggling with this. People either act like nothing is happening and everything is fine, or they have pitchforks for one camp or another. Fear is so divisive and so are the opinions. So hard to even know what to believe or trust. That like makes me want to cry just reading it. Like, it is so true. I feel like I could have written that. I'm sure people listening feel like they could have written it. And it's like, gosh, my unfiltered self wants to say, like, if we're all thinking that, then like, why is it like that? You know?
I know. Gosh. And I think when you mix in social media, which is already a whole can of worms, you know, where people are really selling themselves every day. But then you mix in that human element, it's very confusing because you're like, I have to, you know, pay the bills. So I have to show up here. But also, I really want to acknowledge the fact that things are crazy right now, you know, and I'm still wrestling with it. You know, it feels so, my four wing comes out where it's like, this is so phony baloney to like show up and just do Christmas home tours right now when there are people that don't have power in their house because they can't afford it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a constant tension of how do I do this well? And I don't, like we said about everything else, I don't know that there is a right way to do it well, but yeah, it's tough. And in some ways I think it's gotten easier to handle the chaos, or maybe I've just tuned out enough to where I feel like things aren't as intense, but it's definitely still there.
Yeah. It's so real and lonely. And yeah, that comparison is so good. Yesterday, someone on Instagram stories, I don't even remember the account, but they did like a scan of their room without an Instagram filter. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that looks like a real house. That looks like my house. And it's so like, I don't know, I hadn't even thought of it, but like, we haven't seen unfiltered homes and that kind of thing. It's just, it is hard to not compare. All right. So then what are some ways with all of that craziness and that post that I read from you? It's just like, it's so spot on. And so like, I would just love to know, like, what are some ways you've stayed grounded in a time like that? It's really hard to stay grounded with so much negativity and fear and grief and hate.
You're so sweet, first of all. I haven't done it perfectly. I've had a couple of outbursts where I instantly regretted it. You know, I think it's, freedom of speech is a gift and a curse, because you can say whatever you want, but I always try to say things that I'm going to be okay with it being out there. And usually I do a pretty decent job, I think, of like keeping things through that lens. But I had a few moments where I was like, dang it, this is just too much. Like, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of seeing the signs in people's yards. I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of this, sick of that. And, you know, I had a couple of people reach out and say, you know, that's very privileged to say that. And I was like, I'm sure, it, you know, and it's like, I didn't really think about what I was saying or how that could sound or anything like that. You know, I just kind of had this like boiling over of just like, this is too much, you know? But I've learned so much this year about how much I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I think that trying to have a spirit of humility, being willing to listen to people, has kept me grounded, because I think if you want to be a dog in the fight, you've got to really have some thick skin. And honestly, I don't. I don't want to argue with people on the internet. I don't want to argue with strangers. You're tone deaf if you don't talk about what's going on, but you can get in big trouble if you do. And so it's some tricky business. And I think I just landed in loving people and not really getting involved in anything that could be controversial, because that's never been what I've used my platform for. I don't even have a big platform. I'm like, why would I get involved with that now? I don't need to be the news or anything like that. So for me, for staying grounded, it's being with my family more than I'm being online. Definitely trying to cut back on social media altogether and just setting up boundaries to make sure that like I'm filling myself up with something that nourishes my soul before I go online. I'm not great at that either, honestly. And I think being a curious person, I want to know what's going on. I want to know what people are saying. I want to get into those comment threads and see the back and forth. I think it's human nature to watch the train wreck, you know, but I have found that that is very unhealthy for me and a big time suck. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, it's bedtime. What did I do today? Oh, I read, you know, Donald Trump's Twitter for 16 hours or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I think knowing our own triggers is so important, but it's so hard because like you get FOMO or you're accused of being uninformed. Like my thing is like the news, like it just makes me so sad and anxious. But then I just wrestle with like, oh, well, then I'm uninformed and not paying attention. But it's like, there has to be a limit. I mean, we know what's going on. And
honestly, like, knowing what is being informed doing for us at this point?
Yeah.
Or over-informed. I think there's a difference, you know?
Yeah. Knowing, I think for sure, like figuring out what triggers you, knowing that you can like turn off the news, unfollow that person or mute them. Because even though you love reading it, you're left like so mad for 2 hours afterwards. And like, can you believe what she posted?
And for me too, I muted people that I love, you know, like I don't want to look at you different. And I don't like the stuff that you're sharing. It does not resonate with me. And I don't think it's good, you know, and I don't want to look at people differently during a time where people are really the worst versions of themselves. You know, I truly think that this year has brought all of our junk to the surface. And I don't want to judge people, you know? And so for me, I'm like, I want to protect our relationship. And if muting you is how I do that, then here we are. Even if it's just temporary or whatever.
Yes. I'm forever grateful for learning about the mute button. So nice. Okay. So one of the things I like love about you, I mean, I feel like I'm talking about you like we're friends in real life. Like this is what I love about you, but following you online, I love about you is like how honestly you share like vulnerabilities, and you've opened up a ton online about mental health and what you do to take care of your mental health. And like, that is so, so huge, because even for me for so long, I was like, so embarrassed to be like, oh, sorry, I can't hang out. I have counseling. I'd be like, oh, I have a doctor's appointment. And I was always so awkward to say doctor's appointment. And then like one day I just said, like, I have therapy. And like, it's so freeing to say that, you know, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. But I love that you and other people who do have followings, like, are honest about it, because it, you know, when we talk about it, it gives people permission, like, oh, then nothing is wrong with me for going or for needing support. So first of all, thank you for sharing.
And second, I am always happy to share about that.
Yes. So what have you done, like, to protect your mental health this year? I mean, we've talked, you know, a little bit about limiting exposure, but what else?
I feel like what I've done to protect my mental health is prioritize it mainly. And, you know, going back to counseling, I had not been to counseling for a few years. You know, I tend to go kind of in and out. I've never been someone that goes consistently. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just more I go when I'm really feeling like I've lost my way. And then once I start to feel like, okay, and I'm in an okay place, then I'll sort of dial it back or whatever. It just really depends. But this year I was like, I need to go every Friday. And that's just where I'm at. And I'm not right now, but I was for just like a few months. But I think it's so important to know that we can't always self-help our way out of our issues, you know? And so I think the more that people talk about it, I can't tell you how many people have messaged me and said, well, I just don't even know how to find one. And I'm like, because they're too afraid to ask. And I'm like, I guarantee you, you know someone who knows someone that knows someone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stigma too. I know, like with my grandparents, you know, they were like, oh, you're going to a psychiatrist, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, not a psychiatrist, actually. But it's like, they go to this like far, you know, and there's nothing wrong with taking medicine if you need to. But it was just funny that there is a stigma for sure.
Yeah, there seriously is. It's very, I don't even know. I'm grateful that it's being like more and more talked about, because it is for sure making a difference, you know? And even when I started sharing about mental health, like so many, I think the most popular question I get is what you said, like, how do I find one? How did you find one?
Yes.
And like, to me, that's like, that's an error in the system, because like, we don't not go to dentists because we don't know how to find a dentist. You know, we just like write like, friends, who's your favorite dentist?
I mean, it's that simple. Mm-hmm. Every single counselor that I've found has been a recommendation from a friend. And I'm so
yes. grateful. For me, so many of the people I admire, I'll be like, oh, I admire this person so much, whether it's real life, online, whatever. And then they'll somehow come out and be like, oh, I go to therapy. I'm like, so it's
that's
not
why they're probably semi-normal.
Yes.
Therapy.
Yes. So
yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, me too. So it might feel like, just with the shutdowns and everything, going to therapy might feel like off the table or impossible for people, but like a lot of therapists are either seeing people or doing like telehealth. Can you kind of talk about like the importance of getting help even when it feels like impossible or inconvenient?
Oh yeah. I did all of mine on Zoom. So I didn't go into her office or anything like that. I mean, it's honestly never been easier to get therapy, because most therapists, I think, are doing it via Zoom or telehealth or whatever. As nice as it would be to get out and have an adult conversation somewhere outside of my house, there's almost like a stripping down of vulnerability when you're over a screen, I think, sometimes. So in some ways, I felt less emotional, like sharing some of the things with her that I normally would be sort of subconscious about if it was like in person.
Yeah.
So it may be a great way to like try it out now. And
yeah, no, that's a really good
safe
point.
Space, yeah, being in your own home where you already feel comfortable.
Yeah, that's a great point. And if you live somewhere, like I live somewhere where I have to drive an hour to see my therapist. And so I think, just back to the beginning, like the blessing and curse type thing of 2020, it was like, probably with Acre, I wouldn't be able to be driving an hour there, an hour back to go to therapy. But because of telehealth, you know, you can. So if you live in an area where there's not a lot of options, you can see someone hours away in another state even because
I mean,
of this.
It's really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
People have gotten so creative. I mean, it's almost like there's no bounds to who you can talk to or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like people really fight sometimes like valuing like the investment of therapy and working on mm-hmm. ourselves. Why do you think like we fight true mental health self-care?
Well, I don't think therapy's fun. You know, it's hard and it's work. And it's like, you have to sort through some stuff that's like, you'd rather just forget about it. But mm-hmm. what's on the other side of that is freedom, right? And that's what we all really want. And I think it's the best use of your money, honestly, to get to that place. But it is expensive. You know, it's a hard part of it that it is, but I know that there's ways that you can get financial aid, you know, to get therapy, but it's definitely worth it.
Yes.
For sure. Yes.
I just want to share this in case someone listening doesn't know. Like, I think what a lot of people don't realize is that if you do have health insurance, which I know is a privilege in our country, but a lot of insurances will cover therapy, which I didn't realize at first. And I think a lot of people don't realize. So you can always look that up if that's an option, or a lot of therapists will work with you too on
there's for sure options. And I would say too, just for something free, if you're, I mean, I have found so many great therapists on Instagram, I mean, that share daily. And yes. I'm like, wow, that was like something I've been looking for 40 years that someone just posted in a little square, you know? Yes. So definitely look at therapists on Instagram, because they are sharing free information every day. That's so yes. valuable. Amazing.
Yeah. That's so true. And probably even podcasts, I'm sure.
Sure they're a free option. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So if there's a mama listening to this that's struggling with her mental health, but she's in quarantine and, you know, 2020 with kids at home, what would you tell her?
To get offline. That would be my number one thing. Mm. And to call a friend. You know, I think one of the things that I've done during quarantine that has been absolutely the best thing in the world for me mentally has been to go on a weekly walk with a friend, just like an hour and a half of just like letting it all out, and like just having someone that can listen to you and you're getting exercise. So that would be my second point, is endorphins are the cheapest yes. form of mental health. And so even if that's just walking up and down your stairs or whatever, you know, there's so many free, you know, YouTube videos or whatever, but moving your body, talking to a friend and staying offline. I think especially for moms that are struggling to get on Instagram and see someone's perfect house or perfect family or perfect whatever else that all of us know is not real. I mean, hello. I mean, I'm not saying their family's not perfect. I'm sure they are, but it's an unrealistic expectation to put on yourself, to think that you have to have it all together, especially with little kids. I mean, that's another level. Like when you're in the weeds in the young years, like you have to be so gentle with yourself. So however you can protect your mind to do it, and do it with like so much power, you know, like I am not subjecting myself to this today, or whatever it is that's making you feel bad, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I think community, exercise, doing counseling,
yeah,
and protecting your mind, you know,
it's all so good. I love all of those. Okay, so kind of to wrap all of these topics together, we touched on balance here and there, but tell me, does it exist?
I wish. No, it doesn't exist at all. And I think we have seasons. I like the idea of seasons so much more than balance, because every season of your life is so different. And it's the same with like our actual seasons, you know, outside. It's yeah. We're not meant to go, go, go all the time, you know? And so winter is such a beautiful time to hibernate and bring out your inner introvert. Maybe you take up knitting, but you're getting still and you're reflecting, you know? And then as the spring, as the weather warms up, you're getting back more into socializing and things like that. But I think our bodies, one of my favorite books on this is Rhythms of Renewal. It's by Rebecca Lyons. This book is amazing. It's all about creating rhythms, which I think rhythms make so much more sense than balance, because again, we're not going to be doing the same thing in the same way all the time. So I highly recommend that book. I feel like it was like a total game changer, and it's a great like January, you know, February read. So.
Yes. Okay. That's so good. I've actually heard of that book. So I love that. And tell me about the three things.
Okay. So three things, this is just like my low bar lifestyle of if I get three things done each day, I am so proud of myself, you know? And so I use the Passion Planner. I know there's like a million different planners out there, but I like the way it just gives you like your priorities. And so I'll just do, you know, these three things have to happen for my business every day to keep them functioning and afloat. And if I check all those off, I'm good to go. You know, I used to create these crazy goals for myself and unrealistic expectations and these crazy routines where everything had to be perfect. And, you know, I could do it for like 3 days and then I'd fail and then I'd do not, you know, and it was just like this vicious cycle. So for me, it's like three things a day, done.
I love that. And I've heard you talk about it before and like it stuck with me. And I remember this summer with my newborn, I was like so overwhelmed because it's like, I haven't loaded the dishwasher, but I have one hand. And I remembered,
it's so crazy.
I remembered your three things. Like you did a video somewhere that I heard it and I was like, okay, I'm going to just write down like dishwasher. Literally. And if I do that today, I will celebrate. And yeah, it's so much easier to just pick three things, whether it's work or house stuff, because then, yeah, you don't feel like, well, I got two things, but not the 46 other, like, very unrealistic. Oh,
yes. And you get a dopamine hit from checking that box. You're like, I'm done. And my grandmother was always says this, inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. And it's the same principle. It's like just bite-sized things each day. Otherwise, we're miserable all the time because we just feel like we're constantly failing.
Agreed. Okay, we're going to do rapid fire questions to wrap up. And I totally already asked you this, but I didn't ask you the second part. So your Enneagram number, you said you're at 3, wing 4. Tell me the stereotypical 3 thing that's so spot on for you.
I mean, all of it. But I think the people pleasing portion, where I can put on what I need to put on for different groups of people, can definitely rear its head instead of staying true to myself. But my 4 wing goes, don't do that. That's not who we are. And so then I'll bring it back in and be real. But yeah, it's a struggle. I mean, I think it's just always wanting to be enough. That's exhausting as a 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. What's the best and worst piece of parenting advice you've ever received?
Okay. So best, I think just prioritizing bedtime. I think that it's the hardest part of the day. I mean, I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. I would love to just like throw my kids in bed and have a glass of wine. You know what I mean? Yep. But I have found that this is when they really share what's on their hearts. It's the most sacred time in the day where I just feel like it's just an amazing time to connect with them. So it's like hard, right? But so worth it. And I always just, I'm just always like, at the end, you know, it's just like so sweet. Worst parenting advice, I think worst would be that kids need tough love. You know, I honestly, I don't think the ruling with an iron fist has ever been effective.
No.
And I think the more that I treat them like humans that have feelings, and you know, I think that that has always served me better than screaming and yelling and being strict. So just really caring about them as people and listening to them, I think, instead of the tough love.
So good. Okay, what's your guilty pleasure late night snack food? I know you don't stay up too late, but
I sure don't. And I was like, snack food, wine. Yeah, that's probably it, to be totally honest. I'm actually not a late night snacker, but I am a late night whiner. And by late night, I mean 8 o'clock.
I mean, 4 p.m.
4 p.m. or that.
Okay, what's your go-to essential oil diffuser blend?
Okay, so I am really basic when it comes to essential oil blends, because I just use whatever I have. And today I was like, I'm on a big gratitude kick. So right now I'm either diffusing gratitude, which I'm obsessed with, if you use Young Living, or Christmas spirit, because obviously.
Yes. I love those. Yeah. Okay.
And I use it year round.
Oh, I know. Me too.
I love it.
August creeps around and I'm like, Christmas spirit.
Love it. Love it so much.
The orange like helps me be defensive to use it year round. I'm like, there's orange in it.
Oh, yeah.
So you can use it in the
orange
summer.
Orange is so happy.
Right?
Totally.
Okay. Where can people find you and follow along?
So I blog at lesliewgraham.com. Leslie with an EY, which is not typical. And then I'm on Instagram at the same name. So I have the same handle anywhere. So wherever you are, I will be there. Leslie W. Graham.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. This has been amazing. And
thank you.
I just hope the moms listening feel like empowered with whatever schooling decision or daycare or whatever it is, like that they just feel like, okay, I did the right thing. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
I hope
that. I think that any mom that's doing anything is winning, because we all have to just do what works for us, and it's always different, and mine changes constantly. So
yes. Amen. Okay. Thank you so much.
Love chatting with you. Thank you.
Hi, it's me, Haley, founder of Whimsy and Wellness. One of the scariest things about growing a company is hiring people. There's so much that goes along with it, like the paperwork, keeping track of hours, getting people paid, HR reports, insurance, end of year taxes. It was so overwhelming as a small business owner who had never had to deal with that before. And then I discovered Gusto. I love Gusto's simplicity. They make everything very easy to understand, super simple, and whenever I've had questions, their customer service is so good. You can talk to a real human pretty quickly. We've hired people in different states, and Gusto keeps track of everything. Direct deposit, new hire paperwork, all of it. It's just one more thing I don't have to think of as a small business owner. If you'd like to try it out for your small business, visit whimsyandwellness.com/gusto. That's whimsyandwellness.com/GUSTO. Speaking of happiness, have you heard about our membership program, The Happy Place? It's where the skies rain roller bottles and crystals grow on trees. Okay, not literally, but you get $10 a month in Whimsy Cash and it never expires, free shipping over $100, early access to new product releases, which you probably know have a tendency to sell out, and my favorite, seriously amazing monthly flash sales, all for just $10 a month. To get 15% off your first Happy Place order, go to whimsyandwellness.com/happyplace and sign up.